You're listening to Fakeologist 55, where we go over the week's Fakeologist news in just 55 minutes. If you'd like to support independent media such as this, please consider a small PayPal subscription at fakeologist.com. Now, here are your hosts, Aberrato and Faye. Well, hello everybody. It is May 4th, 2018. We're starting the show a little early tonight. It's 19:35 Eastern Daylight Time. We couldn't make it this Wednesday because I was busy at work, working late, and we bumped it to this Friday because I got home at a decent time, even though we're having a big windstorm here in Toronto, the media capital of Canada. I'm on the north shores of Lake Ontario, and I'm here with my ever-present and excellent sidekick, Faye, from somewhere in Switzerland. I believe Bern, Switzerland?
Yes, I'm in Bern. I'm on the north side of the Alps, to be concrete.
Oh, so
hello,
you're,
everybody.
So you're not on Lake Geneva? No.
No, no. It's
no.
A little bit far away, yeah. 100 kilometers or 200, I'm not sure.
Ah, okay. How was your week?
Not so far. My week was intense.
You had an intense week?
Yes,
fantastic.
We had 1st of May and we had a lot to do for the working class.
Yeah, that's me.
The working class does not go to demonstrations anymore. Yeah,
no.
That's me too.
Yeah, we're both in the working class. We're both good union people, I think. At least I pay a lot of dues every year, so we're definitely working people, and we do this on the side. We come together once a week for 55 minutes or so. I haven't really started the timer, although I am looking at the recording, so I'll have to go by that. We're not going to finish it on 9/11 tonight. I have to finish a little earlier. And what we do is we go through what we think are important topics in the fakeologist world, and we try and breeze through them real quick. So if there's something that's not that interesting, wait around. You might hear something that is interesting. And I read from my blog, fakeologist.com, where I take the most exciting things that I think are interesting. And then Faye has her own notes because she's in another world in Europia there, where different things are reported that don't make it over here usually. And she will comment on her stuff and we'll have a quick conversation about everything that each of us brings up. And hopefully it will be interesting. So I went first the other time, I think last time, 2 weeks ago. And therefore, Faye can go first. But here's the bumper. 55! We'll let you go first, Faye. Go ahead.
Yes, well, I think it has been a long time that we have not heard the voice of Barack Obama.
Okay, hello,
the
Barack.
The planet boss, hello, Barack. And Barack Obama announced, how many years is it now? 7 years? 2011, on 2nd of May, he made an announcement for the American people and the planet. And I would like to ask you to play that for us.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, and a terrorist who's responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent men, women, and children. It was nearly 10 years ago that a bright September day was darkened by the worst attack on the American people in our history. The images of 9/11 are seared into our national memory. Hijacked planes cutting through a cloudless September sky, the Twin Towers collapsing to the ground, black smoke billowing up from the Pentagon, the wreckage of Flight 93 in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Where I'll pause, Barack. You interrupted Barack. Did he say something funny?
I cannot hear it anymore without laughing, you know, when he's telling these phrases, black smoke billowing up the Pentagon, and it was a clear September. There is some song, you know, I tried to find that song that is going like, on a clear sunny day or something.
Oh yeah. Sunny days. That
yeah,
one?
Yeah, something like that. He's telling some romantic story there. It's of course everything, every single word, every single syllabus is a lie in this
actions
speech.
Of heroic citizens saved even more heartbreak and destruction. And yet we know that the worst images are those that were unseen to the world. The empty seat at the dinner table, children who were forced to grow up without their mother or their father, parents who would never know the feeling of their child's embrace. Nearly 3,000 citizens taken from us, leaving a gaping hole in our hearts. On September 11th, 2001, in our time of grief, the American people came together. We offered our neighbors a hand, and we offered the wounded our blood. We reaffirmed our ties to each other and our love of community and country. On that day, no matter where we came from, what God we prayed to, or what race or ethnicity we were united as one American family. We were also united in our resolve to protect our nation and to bring those who committed this vicious attack to justice.
Well.
Yes.
Is this the song?
Where did you find it? No.
This is the only Sunny Days song I know of.
Myself, why should I work so hard? Sit and dream about the days to come. Half a dress, you're soaking up the sun. Sitting here, I
does this sound like the song you're thinking about?
2 years ago, what did you say?
Is this the song you were listening to?
No, it's not that one. I can't remember. It's a very old.
All right, that's the only Sunny Day song I know. That's Lighthouse, by the way. I think they're from Winnipeg, Manitoba. But this is not a music show, so let's get back to Osama bin Laden. That video you sent is on the CNN website. It's been there since May 2nd, 2011. It's only got 14,000 views, 65 thumbs up, and I just gave it a 16 thumbs down. Obviously, nobody cares about it. Only 13,000 people went to the official website of CNN, the CIA news network, and watched that. Obviously, nobody cares. That's nothing.
He's a bad actor. He never convinced anyone, this Barack Obama. Nobody really.
What do you think of the idea that his name, which could be, we're told, Barry Sotero, and yeah, I don't know when he changed it to Barack Obama, but is there any word or spellcraft going on where they literally took the president and somehow scrambled some of the same letters as Osama bin Laden and made it into Barack Obama? And they deliberately caused confusion amongst the psychological mind.
I'm not sure that this point is about confusion. Maybe, you know, there is this archetypical opposition between the hero and the anti-hero.
Yes.
And Barack Obama and Osama bin Laden, that's a fight man to man, body to body, mind to mind, and he won, the Barack won. I think maybe the names were chosen out of such thoughts.
Sure. But now, do you think
we actually do not know who this guy is who was president of the planet?
Well, that's true. We don't know. We're given confusing messages all over the place. They made it deliberately confusing. There was I don't know if you watched it. This is back when I was when I thought there was real oppositional exposure of these individuals. And there was a movie called Dreams of My Father. And it was an expose saying that Osama, or Osama. See, I mix them up. So that means everyone must be doing it. Obama bin Laden, Barack Obama, Barack Osama. He was supposedly born of a white woman that looks a lot like Paul McCartney's morphed early childhood pictures. And apparently, a black man who was on the CIA, worked for the CIA, parents, the parents of his alleged mother, and his name was Frank. I can't remember right now, but there was a whole movie that was so convincing. Did you ever watch Dreams of My Father?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you should watch it.
Sorry, yeah. Maybe to become more confused. You
really just realize there is probably no true revelation documentary out there, and its purpose is just to sow confusion. And then we had the whole birther thing. Even Donald Trump, the current president, was pushing it, saying he wasn't born in the country, and this is his father, a very odd-looking Kenyan man who didn't look anything like him. Oh, yeah, the guy's name was Frank Davis. Apparently he worked with Barack Obama's alleged mother, and he was probably the father and not some other Kenyan man. And Frank Davis, if you look him up. So a lot of confusion.
A lot of confusion, yeah. There are these stories with CIA in the Philippines and I don't know. As of that part that Trump pushed the thing with the birth certificate, you know, I think these are scripted oppositions.
Yes. Yes.
Because
yes.
Both are elected by the military, and there is no other choice. So,
yes.
That is not something that we should take under consideration. He's just some guy who plays this role. It is not even sure that he went to this, I don't remember, Yale University. There is a guy on the internet who pays, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of dollars if someone can bring evidence that Barack Obama went to the Yale University law school or what it is. And nobody can bring that evidence. But actually, I brought this topic because it was the anniversary of that fictitious death of the fictitious person, Osama bin Laden. That was right now, yeah? And
yeah.
Especially
yeah.
Because of these photographic fakeries that were produced then. I don't know if they were so prominently presented in America, but they were very prominently presented in Europe and especially in Arab-speaking countries.
Mm-hmm. What pictures are we talking about? Because you said you're going to upload them to the live stream. Are we seeing?
Uploaded them.
Okay.
I have uploaded.
So these are pictures. Okay. These are alleged. Oh yeah, I see. We got some pictures of a bloodied face. Oh okay. So this is. We're supposed to believe that he was smashed up and bloodied, and then he was tossed off the Navy vessel into the Persian Gulf for a so-called proper burial at sea, which is not proper?
For a proper Muslimic or Islamic
okay.
burial, but that's not true. Islamic burial doesn't work like that. But the interesting point is here that this photo of Osama bin Laden was obviously fake, obviously photoshopped.
Okay.
And it was somehow not understandable for me for a long time. Why did they fake a photo so obviously? They could do better in that time. And I believe that the reason of this fakery was to somehow overcover the fakery of the character itself, so to double the fakery and to concentrate it to a very obvious point so that it distracts from the question, was he even a real person? And there are many, it has not been researched by someone really with evidence, and maybe it's not possible. But I personally believe that he was no real person. He was a fictitious character.
Yeah,
he has,
I agree.
There are people, they carry that name, Bin Laden. There is also some enterprise with dubious accounts on offshore. I don't know.
Well, the Bin Laden construction company, we're told. Yeah, I think this is probably one of the very few podcasts where you're going to hear agreement that usually these boogeymen are made out of whole cloth. They're based on rich families normally that are part of the military-industrial complex. So they're not going to say, oh, there's no such person as Osama. They named him the 17th child, I believe, so there's some numerology involved. But for the most part, the Bin Laden family is probably real, but the fact that they had a 17th son is probably fiction, and they're going to cover for it because they have a lot to benefit from the reconstruction of the demolished areas of the Middle East. So yeah, I agree. He's a fictitious character. And the idea that the United States military took all those years, 10 years or however many years, to actually track him down and kill him is absolutely ridiculous, especially with the idea that one of the media people who was a CIA/media person interviewed him in his cave, in his bunker, where we saw the ridiculous hideouts, where we have a fantastically engineered, carved out piece of a mountain. And as Donald Rumsfeld said on Meet the Press with Tim Russert, oh, there's many of these caves. So the idea that the biggest force in the world could not track him down, but the media could, is once more in your face insulting your intelligence. Completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
So the whole narrative is insane, and we have to move on. All right, it's my turn, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Toronto van attack hoax.
Okay.
The official title is the Toronto van attack that the media uses. And Unreal said I should probably use the official title of whatever the media wants to call these events and then add on the word hoax. Hoax, I suppose, is the easiest, most simple word to use. So if anyone, and this is how I did a lot of my early, very simplistic research, I would take whatever I thought was a complicated or scary story and just add the word hoax. So 9/11 hoax, nuclear weapons hoax, nuclear power hoax, JFK hoax. So I think I'm going to stick to that pattern. So I've modified, I used to call it the Toronto van, sidewalk van attack hoax, but I'm just going to call it the Toronto van hoax. I renamed it. And it's probably the biggest psychological, hyper-realistic drill, HRDPAR, no one died, no one got hurt, NDNGH, hashtag or hashtag before that, that Toronto's had in, as far as I can remember. And this one is not been taken apart much on YouTube because, it was, you know, YouTube is pretty much shut down. Any opposition, old type videos. So now you're going to have to dig to find them. And there's a website called 153news.net. And I usually grab the video from there and post it on FakeTube. But the story here, and I have a whole entire thread. This is the biggest thread on the internets on the Toronto van attack hoax. And I've compiled my own posts. I've compiled some mainstream media video. I've compiled some 153news.net video. And today, one of the things, since there isn't really a lot of story here, I've found that the media, in Toronto at least, has concentrated on interviewing themselves. And they're telling everyone how they're working together to get the story. It's the most bizarre, narcissistic, navel-gazing type reporting I've ever heard or seen. It's insane. And they're just, I guess the idea here is they're just trying to say that they're working together to get you the information, to get you, the public, the story. When in fact, all they're doing is really wasting time looking at themselves, and there is no story. Now, I thought this video, I just watched it on the way home tonight, which I don't recommend you do while you're driving, but I was stuck in traffic, so I just pressed the button.
Don't do that again.
I know, but if you're stuck in traffic at a red light, and I don't, anyway, okay. I'm not recommending it, but this story was amazing because I couldn't believe it. I was listening to a discussion about the hospital, which is a real hospital. And this is a real sign in the video that was put up. It looks fake, but it's actually a temporary sign that I haven't been to the hospital in a long time, but I went to Google Street View and the sign is there in a little better shape from this or last year, maybe 2 years ago. So you can drive around the hospital on Google Street View. But anyway, they created this victim room at the hospital where families could assemble and meet the, I don't know what it was for, but the point is it was inspired by the largest hoax ever in this last so many years, and that's 9/11. So I thought, wow, they've actually tied 9/11 to the Toronto van attack hoax. I just thought, I have to play this and I have to post it because as tenuous as a link as it might seem, it is fantastic that they created a 9/11 link.
Many of us reporters were covering the story from day one, myself included, and this meant coordinating and helping each other with different items from different parts of the story, so whether it be the hospital, the scene, and sharing that information so that we could follow up with other leads going forward. One of these tips came in through Sunnybrook Hospital. My colleague Rachel Mendelson was there. At the time, a social worker had mentioned to her that the Family Information and Support Center was set up to accommodate the surge of families who were coming in to look for their loved ones. And the social...
By the way, I haven't seen any videos of the surge of families that came in. It's just crazy.
Worker had said that it was modeled...
Yeah.
I found it extremely well made, this clip. I watched it only very fast, but it was so manipulative with that background music that is so...
Yes, you've got music and...
Sucking you in, I think they say in English.
Yes, yeah. Sucking you in. Music is very important. And I'll just start playing at the point where they're showing the Twin Towers, or the simulated, in this case, Twin Towers on fire.
For their loved ones, and the social worker had said that it was modeled after the response to 9/11, and that was something that really stuck with Rachel, and that I picked up this week in terms of a closer look at what does that response look like, who's in the room, it's certainly more than just a waiting room, it's a place where therapists and psychiatrists, occupational therapists, and social workers are helping grieving families deal with what they call a psychological casualty. So the stress from being part of something as big as a mass disaster of this kind, and at the same time trying to connect them with their families. It really speaks to the importance of working together in the newsroom. You can get different parts of the story from different places in the city, and we had someone at every corner of it that week.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it just blows me away. This whole thing is so big in Toronto, and it's amazing. I often wonder, do these reporters actually believe this is happening the way it's told? I really am curious if they think this is a real event. But
care? I mean, it's not sure that they can care. That is also an ability that has been lost a little bit.
Like to think they set up a special room because of 9/11 for these mass casualty events. I think all Torontonians that are sadly psychologically affected by this, they should go to that room. Because I think there are real people that really are believing this, and they are probably some of them are probably genuinely upset about it. I have no doubt about that. And that's part of the problem. Real people are hurt by this psychologically. And it's really shameful that the people that pull these things off do so knowing that real people will be psychologically injured. That is real.
It's a tragic of another kind that they present. It's really, yeah.
If anyone wants to read more, it's really winding down in the city. We're only going to get drips and drabs of this. There will be fallout. I'd still predict and hold to my prediction that they will have a vote on narrowing the street, adding Agenda 2030 sidewalks, Agenda 2030 bike lanes, and trying to really intensify the area to being a slow-moving road as opposed to a major, and I mean major artery through the top end of our city. I don't know how long he's going to delay the vote, but you can bet a million times over that the whole Toronto van attack hoax will be used as the number one reason why this will have to occur, and that will flip all the councillors that were against it, which was most of them, over to the other side. I just can't see it happening any other way. It's going to happen. They're getting what they want, and the other beneficiaries, of course, are the disaster management. And I just encourage people to watch the actual real officials. I don't know which ones are real and which ones aren't. I assume most of them are real officials lying their asses off in the media. And just look, does he really look like he's telling the truth? Just watch these officials lying. And that is the disgusting part that just makes my skin crawl. They're lying. They know they're lying. And I'm talking about the mayor, the deputy police chief, maybe the police chief spoke, the chief coroner. These are all people that you pay for as citizens. And I hope you're okay with the fact that they are lying. I have no doubt in my mind. They're part of this whole drill. They all benefit. They all think they're doing it for the greater good. And it just, everyone should be infuriated by it. But on the other hand, most people think it happened for realsies. So, moving on.
I have to decide now what we are going to talk next.
Well, we only have 30 minutes, so think fast. Before you say anything, I want to just thank Xylophilex. He made a very generous donation. He didn't have to do it. He's done so much research that I really enjoy on this site. And I'm not talking about just the main posts. Look in the forums. Look in the comments. He's really done a lot of work on the Toronto van attack hoax. He's gone through the different obituary sites and dug up all kinds of stuff. You really should look at it. But thank you so much for contributing, Xylophilex. Anyway, go ahead.
And I have to say something concerning the work of Xylophilex, because it worries me every time when I see what he's working on with all this information about, especially about the victim research that he does, in even back to 9/11 and following up all the time. I think this has to be somehow presented in another way, and I am thinking about some, concept, how we can integrate it into the Fecopedia. And by the way, I would like to take this chance to announce that we have two new persons that participate in the Fecopedia project, and that is first the Belgian
Seneca,
yes, who is a member from Clues Forum, who joined.
And I welcome Dave J. I just sent Dave J a password.
Exactly. Dave J is the second one who is starting to participate in the Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's by invitation only, because I had it open to everybody at the beginning, and every single bot in the whole world came and opened an account and just swamped the boat in about 24 hours. They sunk the Wikipedia before it even got out of the dock. So it is now by invitation only. I had no idea there were so many bots that were created to attack any kind of wiki out there. So obviously wiki is old software, so the bots are old and well developed, and it's by invitation only. So send me an email at ima@fakeologist.com or on the Discord chat, and I'll let you in, and that keeps it manageable because it's very tricky to manage infinite numbers of posts. Cool. Go ahead.
Okay, and now I have made my decision, and I think it's a good moment to speak about cinema and hoax management.
All right, hoax management. What do we got here?
Hoax management of the Boston Marathon bombing we have.
Oh, right, yes. I've got that clip lined up for you.
Ah, yeah, really? Okay. Let's hear Jake Gyllenhaal, who plays Jeff Bauman, the famous imposter of a victim that lost two legs on the Boston Marathon bombing. And Jake Gyllenhaal, I have to introduce it, is speaking especially about him as an actor. Pay attention.
All right, I will start playing it. You tell me when to stop playing it, because I've got 5 minutes here. Here we go. Jake Gyllenhaal with Jeff Bauman in a new movie on the Boston, what someone also created a big video YouTube called the Boston Non-Bombing. And it's a huge video. It's a huge video. I put it on FakeTube. You can search for it on fakeologist.com. It's a huge thing where he blows the whole thing apart. And here's the clip.
It's going to get new life, and it will create new inspiration. My first question, though, is to Jake. Was it bizarre meeting someone you're going to have to play for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, particularly Jeff, it was really intimidating, you know. I think, as an actor, we pretend for a living, you know. Someone said to me, we pretend to get closer to the truth, you know, but we still pretend. And so I think
they pretend, all right.
A situation, somebody who has gone through what he's gone through, who has the courage that he has and the strength that he has, and you just feel, you know, like you're an imposter somewhere. So in that way, it was really intimidating. But when we sat down together and we hung out, we became fast friends. Like, we're very similar, you know.
They look the same. They look very similar. It's amazing, actually.
It's really interesting to watch this clip about that movie, because actually both are actors. And,
yes.
They play their roles. And Jake Gyllenhaal, if you watch the clip, you will see it. He looks very directly into the camera without moving his eyes. He's absolutely secure in that direct contact with the camera. The other one as well, but he plays the role of the shy guy who has nothing to do with the media because he's just one who lost his legs, and he's very humble, etc. And it's very interesting. And this explanation that Jake Gyllenhaal gives, that, yeah, I am an actor. I'm used to play roles and pretend. And the other one is not pretending, although we know that he's also an actor who played a specific role in that PSYOP.
Well,
I found it interesting, yeah.
The other funny thing is, now, we're in hockey season right now in Canada, where we have the playoffs, which is the most important part of the hockey season, which is, it used to be about half a year. Now it seems to last all year long. But back during the Boston bombing, which I think was 2015. 2013. And this is when Boston, the hockey team, made a miraculous about face and knocked out our Toronto team. And then they went on they didn't go all the way, they went almost all the way. But I remember that Jeff Bauman, who was in this clip, I think he miraculously got out of the hospital and made an appearance at one of the Boston hockey games.
Yes, that's true.
And if there's any real medical people out there that have any idea what would happen, first of all, he would never survive. But just pretend he could have survived the catastrophic injuries that he portrayed in the PSYOP. Say he did survive. There is no way he would be waving a flag at a hockey game months later. I don't even know. Not even months. It was weeks later. And this speaks to people's lack of reality in the sense that real people take long periods of time to recover. And then you don't even know if they're going to survive. But in our new television or media reality, where everything is solved in 44 minutes on television, that people are so used to seeing a crime committed and solved, and then everyone lives happily ever after within an hour. And then in this fake reality where we have these drills, the same thing happens. Well, people aren't noticing that no way is it possible that this guy could recover in such a short period of time. And I think A.A. Morris of The Propaganda just calls it this movie timeline, which we all take now as reality. And it's not reality. It's not reality at all.
But it has had already some real consequences also. For example, the academic hour has reduced from 55 to 40 minutes, 10 minutes less attention span.
Yeah.
In the schools also.
Sure.
It has really grave consequences.
My attention span is shrinking. I know it is. I can't stand doing anything for more than a few minutes. I just have to do the next thing. I don't even have the attention span sometimes to do the show, but you forced me to do it, which is great. I have to show up. Anyway, the point is...
Change the topic.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why we do this show. We change the topic, so I'm going to do that. 55! And I just noticed that I forgot to move us into the main show, but...
Really?
Yeah, but it's okay. We don't have any interlopers. It's just a room, a protected room where people can't interlope in. But I was thinking, for those that don't want to join the Discord, I was thinking of maybe paying for a fakeologist phone number again through Skype. It costs about 60 American a year now. They really jacked up the price. But I thought maybe... we might do a call-in show once in a while if you want to participate, or we can just do Fakeologist 55 and have the phone lines open as well, and then people can call in. But that can only be done through Skype. It can't be done through Discord. But I used to run the show in the past through Skype, and I just wanted to get away from Skype because it's not a great... group chat program, although you can have group chats on it. So I was just, I might do that just because I know people still use the old fashioned cell phone. Well, they don't have landlines anymore, I think, for the most part. But there's some people that want to communicate with us. Yeah. Well, my point was people mainly use cell phones now. So even though the quality's awful on most of them. I might do that. So I don't know if you're interested. We could just do a show.
I find it very interesting. Maybe there should be more people to answer questions and to discuss with those who call.
Yeah, I did have quite a few people that had no computers, and I guess they had a smartphone, but maybe they had a regular phone. I did have the odd caller, just on an old fashioned cell phone. So I might do that again. It would attract maybe more of an older crowd that don't want to use the computer or the smartphone to communicate like we do on the Discord. But it's just a thought. I might do it, but I don't know if it would be a separate show or we could accept interruptions to Fakeologist 55, because one thing, callers often disrupt the show because they'll start talking about their own topic, so... it may not work. So I'm just thinking about it right now. I would have done it automatically, in the past, but now that Skype charges a pretty good buck for that, I don't really want to pay for a phone line that I don't use. But, Getting back to my topic, and we only have about, this is 55 minutes, we only got about 15 minutes left, and I know we can't get to all the topics, so I'm going to play a little bit of a familiar voice. This is the final, little bit of music here. But this is our old buddy, Rush Vids. And he always puts dramatic music up. And what has he got here? Is this Russian Vids? Maybe it isn't.
Very happy to be out of there.
No, I think it is.
Very, very quickly.
He's just playing some video footage of Columbine, which is an old-fashioned PSYOP. One of the granddaddies of putting security systems and invoking terror in with the children. The main reason I'm posting this is Russian Vids is back at 153news.net, and he is posting every day, twice a day now. And in case 153news.net goes down, I am mirroring a lot of his videos on FakeTube.
And this app, do you know that this 153?
I believe it's Sidethorn Journalist. I believe it's his site.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know how he does it, because hosting videos is very bandwidth intensive. Most shared services will not allow you to host videos because it will literally crash their servers. Takes way too much bandwidth. So I don't know how he does it. If he has you can pay for a dedicated server on a hosting site, but that usually costs a few hundred dollars a month. And I don't think there's any upside to it. I don't think you can really make any money from it unless you accept donations. So FakeTube is just using another service that's not a dedicated server to FakeTube, but it's a shared server as well. But we don't get nearly the views to make a difference, so I haven't heard any problems. But we only serve a few hundred video views a day, which is nothing. But
this 153 news especially against censorship and hosts only or mostly
truther stuff
productions. Yes, truther stuff and hoax analysis, etc.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great that it exists.
Oh yeah, I do too. And if we can all set up video sites if you're willing to pay for it, but it does cost money. And I've said before, I doubt YouTube makes a dime. They probably lose a ton of money because they serve everything up. And I don't know how they can do it. The computing horsepower is just probably the biggest server farm in the world. Now, here's the funny thing. If the technology was used called distributive serving. So, for instance, if I have the video on my server and you have it on yours and you leave your computer on, then we can all serve up the same video in tiny pieces, and it would make the internet run a lot more quickly. But what it does is eliminate control. So if a million people are serving up the same video, then not one person can either use their resources or make the money. So that's why but it could be done, is my point. Yeah. But the point of this video is that it was just showing all the dummies used in the hoaxes. And I'm pretty sure there are quite a few dummies used and actually shown in the Toronto van attack hoax. And if you see a person that looks really still and their facial expression doesn't change, probably a dummy. So they don't usually zoom in, and they usually blur out the face, which would give it away. But there was a lot of CPR being done in the Toronto van attack hoax, and they were CPRing in the wrong spot usually, and they were also CPRing pretty violently. And there is a danger, anyone who knows CPR, if you're too violent or you're doing it in the wrong spot, you can kill the person. So it's, I think a lot of these.
CPR, I don't know that.
It's called cardiopulmonary resuscitation. It's where you put your hand on the rib cage and start pumping it, because you're literally pushing the rib cage against the heart to make it pump.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, you can crack the rib cage. You can pierce the heart.
It didn't look very convincing that it was a recovery treatment or something.
And I don't know if they changed CPR, but I thought you were supposed to blow in the mouth to blow the air in, because otherwise there's no air getting in the lungs. So I don't know. I haven't taken a CPR course in a long time. But this video was pretty good. He was showing all the dummies from the LA X hoax and the Toronto hoax and maybe the Columbine hoax. So it was pretty good. But the main point of this post is just to let you know that Russian Viz is back, and a lot of people like him. A lot of people don't like him. I think he's pretty cool.
I don't know him. I have to discover him.
And that's why I posted it, because he's been around a long time, and I know there's lots of new people, and I even consider you new. You're 1 year new, I guess. So, yeah.
Half year.
You've only been doing it half a year, and look, you already got your own show. How suspicious. All right.
App.
Yeah.
I have the following topic now. Very spontaneous. It is not on the list. EGI.
EGI, Elite Gender Inversion.
Elite Gender Inversion. That's a term that Unreal created. You know that better, because I follow it since I'm here only. And the latest topic that Unreal posted was...
At egi.fakeologist.com.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was at egi.fakeologist.com. Unreal posted about the birth. Kate Middleton gave birth to her third child.
Yeah.
And she presented herself and the father of the child, or the alleged father or whatever, 4 hours after the birth.
Yes.
Outside of this hospital, or what is it called? Clinic?
Yeah. Well, I would say a hospital.
Wearing the dress that Rosemary, of the movie of Polanski, Rosemary's Baby, was wearing in that film.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't remember or haven't seen the movie, it is about a young pair that...
Have you seen it?
Yes, I've seen it. It's a long time ago. But
do you recommend it? Because I haven't seen it.
Yes, I recommend it. It's great.
Rosemary's Baby is... Polanski is one of those crazy guys that...
But his movies are really good.
Yeah, okay. Well, he was exiled from the United States for allegedly diddling an underage girl in Hollyweird, and he is exiled to France. And I don't know if it's a real story at all.
And I know it because
you know it.
I don't know if that with the girl is a real story, but that he was in France. He was awarded in Zurich, and he came from France to Zurich in Switzerland to get his award. And he was arrested, and then he applied for asylum in Switzerland, and he's living in Gstaad. That's some very expensive, noble countryside in Switzerland.
Okay.
I think they have applied again to bring him to the United States, but I don't follow the story. I don't know.
But the point is, Unreal actually noticed that the dress was the same. That's a great... Yes. That's a great find.
Yes, that's a great find. And Tom Dalpra engaged in this discussion. That was the interesting point, because Unreal always finds the interesting material. It's his métier. But Tom Dalpra unexpectedly engaged in this discussion, asking what is the meaning of this story? Why does the future queen of the empire present herself with this dress that is connotated with satanism and perverse stories.
Yeah.
And we were discussing this, and I engaged also a little bit, trying to explain my point of view. And it is clear that Tom Dalpra is not convinced at all that it is even possible that this kind of praxis of sex inversion is really happening in the class of the elite. And that is, of course, very interesting, because for sure we do not know it. We cannot prove it.
Yes.
It is a field research. It is still in its beginning. But there are too many signs for it to be real. And historically, there are also many signs that it has been practiced for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to bring it up, because we never talk about elite gender inversion, and it was just actual.
And do you believe in that? I don't know your take on it. And we've gone quiet on the topic and on the board, because I think a lot of the good EGI YouTube videos have disappeared, or the channels have disappeared. But what's your take on it? Do you think there's anything to it?
Yes, I think, you know, it's difficult to have a clear understanding of it as someone who just observes it, as I do. What I can differentiate till now is that there is really a PSYOP, a trans-investigation PSYOP, let's say, or a directed mass publication of such material out of Hollywood, and that many actresses and actors are transgendered, and even very young people, very young actors and actresses, mm-hmm. and that it has a tradition in the movie industry, etc. So there is one point of which I cannot know exactly at the moment what it means. From my understanding, this praxis could also be explained just because for the needs of really presenting special, extraordinary characters, you have to have some techniques to make yourself extraordinary. And maybe sex inversion is one of these techniques. But for the elite, which is the part that also Unreal researches very intensely, I think the reasons are other. And I think it needs more time.
Let's cut to the chase. Do you think that the royalty has their own babies? If they are women, do you think they even have their own babies?
I think these are two separate questions, to be
honest. I know, but it's all deception. It's all deception. You're a woman. I believe you have children, and I'll just guess that you had them. You had your own children.
Yes.
Is it possible to pop out a baby and be walking around in a few hours in normal circumstances?
For me, not. You were sleeping afterwards.
Right. It's a lot of work.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
And she doesn't look, in this photo, she doesn't look as a woman that has just given birth.
Sure.
Not because of the anatomy and the body form, mm-hmm. but the expression in her face is, he looks more troubled than she.
He looks like he gave birth.
Yes, something like that. Maybe that is the reason, the real reason.
No, he doesn't look like he gave. Like the only thing the only thing he's birthing is his hair loss. His hair is the only thing coming off him. So do you think that, I don't even know her name anymore. What's her name? Princess
Kate
something.
Middleton.
Kate. Duchess Kate, do you think she's a possible EGI subject? Do you think she's possibly just a very slight boy that has been EGI'd in the lab, or EGI'd in adulthood into this, well, they call them reptiles, but they're just altered or in between people? Do you think she...
I think it is possible, but yeah. I cannot be sure, you know.
No, I know.
Because if these practices are really used by mm-hmm. by parts of the elite, they do not use them, I don't know, after the puberty. They use
right.
them really early. You cannot recognize then if someone or very difficult. You need to have much experience and field research. As I say, if you have 10,000 exemplars of something, you can draw some conclusions. If you have three, it's 50-50 always. So I'm not convinced that Kate Middleton is not a woman. But actually, I believe that she didn't give birth to anyone.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, I can't believe it. It's been 55 minutes, Faye. This has been great.
What?
I know. We could go on for three more hours, and you can go on in the audio chat if you want. There is the audio chat.
Yes, of course.
We can, if you're listening, and you can join Faye. You can't really join me. I'll probably be leaving shortly because I have to do something now. But thanks for coming out, Faye, and we'll see you back. We'll have to pick another day, maybe next Wednesday.
Yes.
But it's been 55 minutes. I can hardly believe it. 55!